I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Loving Life Podcast, coming from a parent's perspective, where we take a look at the past, the present, and discuss what the future has in store for all of us. Welcome to the Loving Life Podcast. This is the Loving Life Podcast, coming from a parent's perspective, where we take a look at the past, the present, and discuss what the future has in store for all of us. Welcome to the Loving Life Podcast.
All right, welcome to the podcast. It is the Loving Life Podcast. Here we are in a brand new year, and what's going on? I'm solo again, usually hosting this with my wife, Sandra, but that's okay because today's kind of a special day, and I did not expect her to drop everything at work and drive on down here. Had the opportunity to connect with Efren Ramirez. You know him as Pedro from Napoleon Dynamite. Yes. Amazing. So here we go. We get the phone number. We're going to give him a call, but we ran into some things, and here's how everything kind of played out.
Hey, this is Efren Ramirez. Send me a text message, and you'll get me faster. If you want to leave a message, then cool, too. All right, have a great day. Bye.
Efren, it's Charlie at Cool Radio in Phoenix giving you a call for our interview. I was told to call you at this number. We're just going to chit-chat a little bit about what's coming up this Friday here at the Orpheum Theater and the Napoleon Dynamite viewing and you guys coming out. So I'd love to get a call back. I'll talk to you soon, hopefully. Thanks, buddy. Bye-bye. All right, so there you go. I called him, and I got the voicemail, which is not uncommon, and because you never know who's on the other line. So how many times have you looked at your phone and went, I don't know that number. I'm going to let that go to voicemail. So I left the message, and then I followed it up with a text message, and he texted me back saying, I just called, and I said, I'll call you back, and here we are playing phone tag. I'm calling him back, and here we go.
Hello.
There he is.
Hey, what's up, man?
Sorry about that.
It's all right.
Awesome.
I called back, actually, to the number, and I spoke to a woman. And I go, yeah, someone called me, but I'm not sure. I think this is scenic. And she's like, uh-huh. I go, yeah, okay, I'm supposed to be interviewed? She goes, who? I don't know. And she goes, what's this about? And I go, okay.
Yeah.
Napoleon Dynamite? She goes, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Well, I played Pedro. Uh huh. Cool. All right. Okay. Let's start this again.
Oh my gosh.
I'm like, yo, don't you know who I am? None of that. It's just like, yeah. I mean, they're gonna be screening it at in Phoenix, and I just, you know, I'm gonna be meeting a lot of people, and you know, and people are interested to wanting to know about the film. Right? Am I wrong? I mean, I could be wrong. Yeah, unless you want to use me as a pinata, then that's fine too.
she had no clue.
Maybe she voted for Summer, and that's cool too.
I don't know. Maybe she did. Efren, thanks so much for being on the phone. Appreciate it. I am looking forward to Friday at the Orpheum Theater. Napoleon Dynamite, again, one of these movies that came out in 2004. You guys had a really low budget on making this movie. It was. I'm reading like $400,000 to make the movie, yet it grossed like $46 million. Is that true?
Yeah. It's. I mean, it's always surprising the fact that, you know, this is a film that very independent, and we were all together, and we did this film, and we really had no idea about the results on how big it was going to grow. So, I mean, not only did it was $45 million in the box office, but it made over $300 million with merchandising alone. And to us, we're just always surprised, like, dude, really? I'm a part of that? That's awesome.
Right. Hey, I threw some money at that merch. I got all the collectible dolls in a box in storage. I've got all that stuff.
Good. You're a dedicated fan.
Absolutely. So it's such a cult classic. Now, going into the project, so you get the script delivered to you. I don't know if your agent delivers you the script. You read the script. You audition. What are the thoughts going through your head on this movie? Because it's so... I want to say the word eclectic, so out there, so different.
So weird. How about that?
Right, exactly.
I was working on a show called Even Steven at the time for Disney, and my agent called me up and she said, "Well, you have an audition for these couple of films." And I go, "Okay." One was Napoleon Dynamite. The other one was The Alamo. And when you have an audition, sometimes they don't give you the script. They just give you the pages from the script that you can be playing the role for. So I thought, okay. And I'd read the pages of Pedro and Napoleon, and I was like, what is this? it was odd, and I wasn't so sure. So, you kind of go with your creative gut.
Right.
I remember raiding my father's closet, and I put on my dad's clothes.
Right.
And I go over to Fox Studios, and I read, and, I get a call back, and I remember the director was telling me, he goes, okay, we did the scene, some of the scenes, and he goes, okay, now do it again, but slower. And I go, okay. And then he goes, do it again, slower. And I'm like, okay. And he goes, slower. And I go, how, like, so Pedro all of a sudden started going, hello? No. That's pretty good. And then I'm like, oh, all right, this is going to be, I thought this is strange already, and I thought, like,
right.
Okay, until you know, my agent says, you know, you've got the part, and you know, they're going to fly over to Preston, Idaho, and I remember having to meet John Heder as he was dressed up in wardrobe as Napoleon, and he goes, hey, are you Pedro? And I go,
oh my.
Napoleon. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is going to be backwards, but awesome.
Right. And it, like, totally in character, and it just kind of makes sense then, right?
Yeah, yeah. And you're, you know, you're not sure, because I'm thinking, wow, here, you know, you study your craft, you work your way as an actress through theater, and you I played multiple characters, but it was just, this was a lead role, and it was a character role, and I wasn't so sure, because I studied drama, and this is comedy, and you're like,
right.
I want to play the truth of this and see what happens, and the rest is history.
Right. What's it like being, I mean, people see you and they go, Pedro. You know, it's not Efren Ramirez. It's Pedro. I mean, it's got to be a kind of a 50-50, like, come on now, that's Pedro. But you know what? You got to be proud and wrap your arms around that, because it's so iconic.
It's, I don't know. After Napoleon Dynamite, and because of it, you know, I end up buying my parents a house, and then I bought my house, and I, you know, I've done theater, and for me, if I could hide behind all the characters I play, then I've done my job as an artist. You know, for me, in between working in films, I go to high schools and I go to colleges and I go to hospitals and I see kids. And when I see little kids and they look at me and they're like, Pedro, I'm like, I am he. It is. You see, the thing is, you want to, because I played such a positive character,
uh-huh.
It's somebody that people want to embrace. You never want to play a villain in a very popular movie, because then people kind of snicker at you and they're like, ugh, they hate you.
Right.
And you're like, wait, that's not me. But in this case, you know, Pedro is very positive. And, you know, and he even though he's in a world where he's trying to figure out where he can fit in.
Right.
You know, he makes a difference in his life, along with that friendship with that, you know, with Napoleon Dynamite. And that's one of the great things about this film.
Right.
Is the love and friendship.
And speaking of friendships, now, obviously, you do the movie and it becomes such a classic. And again, it's like one of those shows that, you know, along with owning the DVD and the and all this, every time it comes on TV, you get stuck, you watch it. It's one of those things where you're passing by, Napoleon Dynamite's on, and you're watching the show. So it becomes this classic. And of course, it's probably way bigger than you ever imagined. With your co-stars, speaking of family and friends, it's kind of turned into this long distance. Like, you guys obviously don't hang out all the time, but you see each other, you keep in touch. How's that working out?
Yeah, well, Jonathan Grice plays Uncle Rico, lives about 20 minutes away from me, and John Heder is about 15 minutes away from me. So, you know, and I talk to him all the time, and I reach out to a lot of the cast members. You know, I think one of the things about Napoleon Dynamite is, because it's so independent, you know, we were making it for practically nothing, and we became family.
Right.
You know, and it is rare that it happens, especially because when you're working on a big feature film with a big budget, you know, it's so independent that people are on their own world, you
right.
know, and In this case, there were film students who decided to put this film together and hope that, you know, at least something could come out of it. You know, at least maybe go on DVD and we could put it on our reel as actors. But
right,
because it got so big and we got along so well and we trusted the director and each other on the work and the process, it became something else, you know. And even after 15 years, you know, we remain friends and they are family to me, they, you know, and we really support each other and help each other out.
It sounds more like it was a project that almost everybody had their hands in and helped mold and make it happen, rather than, you know, going to a big budget film and, okay, this is your gig, this is your gig, this is your gig, this is your gig. Everybody seemed to have like a little bit of a play in creating this project.
Yeah, it you know, because we pretty much had nothing, you know.
Right.
And there was a skeleton crew and we shot in a place called Preston, Idaho, a small town where the director grew up in. And all we had was each other. So we would shoot as the days go by, and it was about 22 days. And then we'd play basketball, and we'd hang out with each other. And sometimes we would shoot scenes, and we would find them to be funny sometimes. And we'd go, okay. And we became fans of quoting the film. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Bob goes to college. You know, Jesus. We thought it was very funny, you know, just for ourselves. But we had no idea the results of its turnout after it got accepted at the Sundance Film Festival, and it just got huge, not only nationwide but worldwide. You know, I could go to Europe, or I produced a film and I was in Spain, and they were like, even I was in Russia, and they were like quoting Napoleon Dynamite. I'm like, what?
That's cool.
Really? But like, okay, cool. Yeah.
No, that's really cool. So many things that happened in that movie, from throwing the little action figure out the bus window to you guys jumping bikes off the ramp. Oh, my God. I lost it. I'm like, you got about 15 feet on that. I mean, it was just the lines. It was so clever and so, I mean, I think it took, you know, people like myself to a place where like, oh, my gosh, that is so what we did when we were that age. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it's a lot of it's written by the director and his wife, Jerusha, and based on real life events that actually occurred. You know, I think the guy who played Kip, Aaron Rule, his little brother actually ordered a time machine online. He like, well, really did. Yeah. He apparently he sort of borrowed his parents' credit card.
Oh, my God.
He went online and he ordered it with the crystals. And it came with like money of the time period.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Yeah.
The backstories are great. I was on YouTube and I was watching some of the outtakes, and it looked like you guys had a lot of fun making the movie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Remember, a lot of the stunts, we didn't have any stunt guys, so
right?
They had to do it themselves.
No, that was
moment.
John Heater losing his balls on the 10-speed bike on that jump, for sure.
Yeah, oh yeah, even the stake throwing, you know.
Oh my gosh, that was great. So tell me about the theater tour. What is it all about? I know that you know, we go through anniversaries in the movie, but what you guys are doing, I think, is so cool, because it's one of these things where I'm selling it on the radio for the event that's coming up, and I'm like, okay, so yeah, Napoleon Dynamite, you've seen the movie, and if you haven't, it'll be a first time, but this is not like going to watch a movie. The guys are going to be there. What's it all about?
It's I got to tell you, you know, we've been doing a few of these tours now all over the nation, and remember, Napoleon Dynamite is a movie where families can sit together, watch and enjoy, where parents don't have to worry about their children and they have to edit them, you know, because
right.
they can't watch the movie.
Right.
And sometimes this is a movie where grandparents have introduced it to their grandkids, you know, like, really?
Yeah.
So as we've been doing this tour, there have been people who have been sitting down with a lot of people to sold out shows to really experience the movie on the big screen. You know, because most of them have seen it at home, you know, during the holidays when families get together,
yep.
or on road trips. But to experience it with a lot of people in the full house, it's great. And then after that, we do something, we open it up to a Q&A where John Grise and John Heder and I would come out and we talk about the making of the film and what it was like, you know, before Napoleon Dynamite and afterwards. And it's great to see a lot of fans who are dressed up as the characters. And, you know, you see the kids who are, like, dressed up in Napoleon. They're like, hey, Pedro. they're like, oh, my gosh, this is so cool. You know,
right.
We had a family who dressed up as all of the characters, and they had a baby Kip, you know, with no mustache. And I was like, this is awesome.
Oh, my gosh.
So, yeah, they're really into it.
And you get to see that, too. I mean, do you still do the Comic-Con stuff? Have you been out? You've been out to those. I've seen that you've been out to them. Do you still do that, or every once in a while?
It's hard because we're always working as actors. You know, John
right.
Heder just finished doing Tremors, and I don't know if I'm allowed to say that. and I'm working on a series with Sir Ben Kingsley where I play an astronaut.
Oh, wow!
Yeah, yeah. And John Grise is working on a series called Dream Corps, where he's like a scientist and he enters people's dreams. It's half animated, so it's we're always working as actors.
Right.
So for us to be able to go into the public and meet, you know, people, it gets difficult because we're like, at this, you know, I'm doing research for a new film that I'm going to do, and you start to zone in into a different world,
right?
And then when you go to the public eye, you're like, oh yeah, that's right, I forgot about this.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Yeah.
So there was there's an animated version of Napoleon Dynamite, and you're still doing voice work for that, right?
Oh yeah, Fox wanted to do an animated series, Napoleon Dynamite, and one of the great things was that we all agreed to do it. It was great to be able to be in the room and do the voices for all the characters. And
right.
Actually, you could actually watch it on Hulu, I believe,
mm-hmm.
which is owned by Disney. So I guess Mickey Mouse is sort of my boss now. So yeah, I mean, I'm not going to complain. I'm like, heck yes.
Hey, man, if you're going to have a boss, Dynamite, right? Right.
Yeah, if you put Napoleon and Pedro in a Star Wars world, what would that be like? I'd like to hang out with Baby Yoda. Why not?
Right. You can change it up. Get yourself on the Mandalorian.
You sure? Perfect. Imagine. Well, may the Force be with you, or something.
Or whatever.
Oh man, good stuff. Now there was rumors, and the rumors are rumors until you actually ask the people. Sequels? No. I mean, how do you do a sequel to Napoleon Dynamite?
Well, I mean, the world is never closed, you know? And
right.
When you make a sequel, it's got to be, it has to be very important, you know? You can't, if you relive the world of Napoleon Dynamite, like, where would they be 15 years from now?
Right.
Maybe Napoleon would be with Deb, you know? Maybe Pedro ends up marrying Summer Weekly and has, like, I don't know, five kids. Maybe Kip has now become like a member of WWE. And
I would throw money at that. I would throw money at that.
Yeah,
that's funny.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, when you talk about classics like that, Fast Times at Ridgemont High, and just movies that, you know, will always stand the test of time. It's kind of hard to throw a sequel at it and have it be, you know, so classic. So I don't know.
Yeah, there have been so many fans, and we've been doing this tour to sold out shows, you know, people really want it, you know? And we go, okay, if that ever to happen, you go, well, what would honestly be the results of their lives, you know? Would Napoleon and Pedro have kids, and maybe the kids would be going through some struggles? Imagine an 8-year-old Napoleon. Gosh.
I don't want to imagine that.
He's got moon boots. And the little Pedro.
Oh my gosh. With the shirt buttoned up at the top, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my gosh. That's funny. Well, we're excited out here in Phoenix for it to come. I know a lot of people that I've been talking to, and especially my daughters. I have a 16-year-old and a 20-year-old, and they've seen it, and they love it, and they're excited as well. So Orpheum Theater is an amazing place. You're going to love it when you get in. So very historical, lots of history in it, and it's prime for you guys to show the movie at and do the Q&A. Thanks for spending the time with me today, Efren. I appreciate it so much.
Yeah, of course. And for people who are going to the theater, bring your footballs, your pinatas, your dolls. your Vote for Patriot t-shirts, and you know, it's gonna be pretty awesome.
Yeah, I agree. I'm right there with you. Thanks so much, Efren Ramirez from Napoleon Dynamite. Thank you for your time, and we look forward to seeing you real soon.
Thank you, family. All right, you get to take care.
All right, you too. Thanks.
All right. Bye.
Well, there you go. Efren Ramirez, who plays Pedro on Napoleon Dynamite. You know, the cool perks of the job is getting to do stuff like that. You know, just never, ever in a million years imagine that I'd be able to talk to some of these people and just kind of pick their brain a little bit. And always so much fun. So thanks again, Efren, for being on the phone with me for a little while. And hopefully you enjoyed it as well. And if they're coming to your town to do this, take advantage. Get out there and do something. And it's just something different to do, right? Watching the movie with the actors who are actually in the movie. Nothing quite beats that. And that's going to wrap it up for the Loving Life podcast for today. Thanks so much for tuning in. And remember, you can get this on the radio.com app, iTunes, Stitcher. It's all out there. You can go to the website, coolradio.com. It'll be on-demand audio. And of course, I always love and appreciate that you give some ears to this. Rate the podcast. Let us know what you think. And we'll see you again next time on the Loving Life podcast.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.